You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Thursday, so you know what that means. It is time for the Michigan Mailbag on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. FYI, you can catch my Thursday episode, as it will be every Thursday, on Locked On College Football. Already got that recorded. That's in the books. But we are going to get to the mailbag here momentarily. Caveat, I'm going to try to keep this under 30 minutes, because once we move to video, I believe there is an issue with the camera I'll be using recording over 30 minutes. So we need to practice keeping it under 30 minutes. We'll see if that happens. Without further ado, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. On a scale of 1 to 10, how mentally fragile has Michigan appeared in previous years? Do you think that has changed at all? It's hard to tell if it's changed at all until we see what happens when they're under duress. I think that they've been pretty mentally fragile since 2016. 2018 had moments where they weren't, for sure. I mean, even that Ohio State game, as bad as it was, they battled back. You know, they battled offensively, particularly. 2018, I think that one was an exception. 2016, they weren't mentally fragile at all. I mean, they were down multiple scores to Colorado, battled back. I don't think that the Iowa game just was any kind of good, and they just didn't want to be playing against Florida State. So there's that. But I think some of these other years, especially, you see it in the road games. They go and they just don't want to be there. Or they get punched in the teeth and they're just like, oh, all right, well, time to pack it up, head home. This isn't going to go good. So I'd say it's been somewhere around, if you want to take the whole Harbaugh tenure, it would be a 7. And if you want to take cherry pick 2017, 2019, 2020, I'd say it's a 10. I think it's definitely been a mentally fragile team. And I think that if they had a little bit more gumption, as far as that's concerned, then we'd be talking about some different results in certain games. Now, that said, 2019, we saw some moments when they weren't mentally fragile, against Penn State, for instance. But, you know, Wisconsin was bad. I wouldn't say Alabama. So, you know what, 2019, I think that was still probably around a 7. They had a lot of okay moments in that season. It's just they didn't finish. Josh Barr at Jadicky, future prediction time. When you're writing a season recap article in a couple months and you're looking at it in the terms of how did Michigan do in terms of fan expectations versus actual results, what is the headline you think you'll be starting out with? Well, fan expectations, I don't know what those are necessarily. I know my expectations are 8-4. I think fan expectations are probably higher. It'd probably be the same thing as we've seen in a lot of these years, like getting closer, but not good enough, you know, but I think it's good enough for this year, as much as people probably don't like that, because if they would have had a little bit more of a respectable 2020 campaign, really, then I think we'd be saying I think that the expectations would be, all right, it's time to win the Big Ten, put up or shut up. But 2020 was such a debacle. I think you just want to see some coherence on either side of the ball at this point. So I think it would be something like getting closer, but still not good enough, because people don't want 8-4, especially if one of those four is Ohio State. But I'm not predicting that there will be any reversal in fortunes as far as that game is concerned. So lots of work to do still, unfortunately. And I don't know if it's going to change anytime soon, because look at how Ohio State's recruiting. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. The defensive guys seem to bring up how much they trust the new coaches. Was part of the issue the last few years that guys lost trust in the old scheme? I think a little bit. I mean, especially when you look at like the struggles that they were being, it kept on being a square peg into a round hole, I think, to some degree. I think that they recognized, hey, it's, other teams know what's coming here, and yet we're not adjusting. And then they adjust. They adjusted. It felt, I mean, they had a pretty big adjustment last year. in with the zone. But they had run zone before, but I think that seemed to be more in the secondary than it was in the middle of the field. And it just looked really bad. So I think that there was certainly some lost trust when it came to that. But I also just feel like it kind of goes to the mentally fragile thing. I think last year you saw a really mentally fragile team that just didn't want to be out there for a majority of the year. Now, that said, I think a lot of us were really mentally fragile last year. You know, it was a weird, bad year just due to things that were going on outside of football, you know? So I do think that's a part of it. I think the trust part as well now is just that they feel like they're being put in a position where they can utilize their talents a little bit more. So we'll see how that goes. Finishing us off in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner one. What do you think is holding back recruiting this cycle, on field stuff, NIL stuff, or something else? Number two, if you could put together any combo of jersey and pants for an alternate uniform, what would you pick? The last one, I mean, it would be easy. I'd just do the all blue, but not with the weird look that they had in 2014 Penn State. You know, blue pants with the current blue jersey, I think, would look sharp. That would be my color rush. I'm not crazy about the all maize, personally. I'm just not. I didn't really care for it in 2017. I mean, it was fine for one game. I'm sure we'll see it again, but I wasn't crazy about it. I don't care about the yellow pants with the white jersey. I just don't. I like the all white. I think it's sharp, personally. So, as far as holding back recruiting, I think you're just waiting on a lot of high-end guys that are making later decisions, you know? Yeah, they've missed out on some guys, but I mean, they still got a five-star in the bank, but you're waiting on guys like Walter Nolan. It seems like they've missed out on a lot of running backs, unfortunately, between like Gavin Sawchuk, and now it's looking like George Pettaway. It's probably North Carolina bound. So I don't think that that's a huge deal, because they got Donovan Edwards last cycle, Blake Corum the cycle before. But I know that some people aren't that high on Jaden Denegal. I think that it's fine. This is the type of year after last year that you expect Michigan to kind of finish around 13-ish, you know, but I think that that could change in a hurry. I think they're probably still really pushing to get Damani Jackson, and a handful of other five stars. You still got guys like Dylan Tatum out there. There's still a lot of really like high-end prospects that they're trying to get that just haven't made their decision yet. I don't judge what a recruiting class is in August. I judge where it is in really in November and December, you know? So anyway, all right, let's move on. We've got plenty more coming up, lots more questions coming. But before we do, hey guys, so there are a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you're sweating through your shirts for no reason, it's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know that I have personally dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now listen, I know this isn't life and death. There are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest. In the moment, it feels like a big deal. Lord knows, I sweat 3 minutes into a treadmill run. It's insane. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I would much rather not worry about it, and that's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime. Go to bed. Next morning, you wake up, wash, and you go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. I know this will sound too good to be true, but I literally only have to use Sweatblock once or twice a week, and it keeps me dry the whole time. No more pitting out. No more picking my shirts based on which one will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at Sweatblock with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon or CVS. Continuing with the Victor's Valiant, KRT at Farmer 84, excluding Aiden and Dax, which player on the current roster will end up being the highest draft pick? Non-football question, favorite season of the year? Summer's probably at the bottom of my list. Summer's at the top of my list, even though I haven't done anything this summer. I just like warm weather. I despise cold weather. I think I like, it probably goes in this order, summer, early fall, spring, late fall, winter. I love football season, but I also hate it because when it starts getting crisp, as much as it's like, I love what the weather is right now, it's a precursor to what's going to happen. So I hate that part. So aside from Aiden and Dax, which player on the roster will be the highest draft pick? That one's difficult. I mean, I think it'll be Donovan Edwards. Because I think Donovan, well, that's hard to put a running back in the first round. Because you see really good running backs go in the second. So I'm going to recant. Let's go J.J. McCarthy. I know we haven't seen him play, but I mean, if he's everything we think he can be, I mean, he'll be a early to mid first round pick. At worst, a second. I think additionally, and I probably should have led with this one, is probably Zach Center. Just I'm going based off of all the love he's getting right now. Kind of seems like he's got that first round potential for an offensive lineman type. So I recant Donovan Edwards because even some of the best running backs end up being second round picks nowadays. They're not picked at a premium anymore. Quarterback and linemen on both sides tend to be the higher end ones. So I think that's where I'd go with. I wouldn't be surprised if Mazi Smith ended up being up there if he ends up playing up to his potential as well. Just because I think he's just got unbeatable size. So, AJK at AJK4UM. I really like the future prediction theme. My question along that line is, fluff aside, do you have any sense if we'll see actual decent line play on either side of the ball? Because everything depends on that. I'm sick of hearing best 5 O-line and how big Mazi is. Will they be able to run the damn ball and at least force teams to throw without excessive blitzing? Those are the two minimums. Well, number one, it's a completely different defense. So it's not going to be as variant on if the blitz doesn't get home, then you're screwed. I don't think that's going to be the case, number one. Fluff aside, I think that I have more confidence in the offensive line. And I think the best 5 offensive line thing is fine, right? Because they have 8 guys who could start right now. They have 8 guys who have started. Let's see. Ryan Hayes, Chuck Filiaga, Trevor Keegan, Andrew Vistardis, Zach Zinter, Andrew Stuber, Carson Barnhart. So that's 7. And so maybe I'm missing somebody there. But, I mean, then you still have Trente Jones, Nolan Rumler. So they've got multiple guys who can start. The offensive line had one really bad game against Michigan State. They weren't great, but they weren't nearly as bad as... They weren't like 2017, you know? I think the offensive line did a pretty good job in pass protection. They're supposed to be better at run blocking, and yet that wasn't the case. As far as Mazi, listen, this hasn't been... Like, number one, I've seen him with my own eyes. Yes, he's going to have to put it together on the field. But, you know, if he came in looking like a butterball, it'd be a different situation, right? Guys have to step up now if they're going to do anything during the season. I know, people feel burnt off of that. How many times have we heard Donovan Jeter, the lights have turned on? You know? But nonetheless, if you're not hearing it now, you're probably not going to hear it in September and October and November. I think the defensive line, I don't have the amount of faith that like Joel Klatt did when I talked to him. But I still think that there's a lot of potential. I mean, you've got some dudes up front. We'll just see how it works out. But I have a lot of faith on the offensive side of the ball. I think that the offensive line, I think, is going to be really good this year. Brandon Carpenter at Big House Go Blue _. Have you ever thought about doing a Spotify green room for the mailbag or even a live episode on there? Not on Spotify. I'm planning on doing a live episode of it at some point when I get some of the logistics figured out as far as once I create the live studio or the studio downstairs. I just haven't figured out, but I want it to be able to be viewed on multiple platforms probably, but if not, I think it would probably end up being on YouTube live. But yeah, at some point we'll do a live episode for the mailbag. I will have a live Q&A, whether it's this mailbag or not, sometime this season. And the plan is for probably also Thursdays, doing that, either whether it's on YouTube Live, I maybe even might create a Twitch channel. I don't know. I haven't figured that out. Twitch feels like that would be like, I don't know how many people use it though, but like that would be where it'd be a lot easier to see the chat and do all that stuff. But I do plan on having a live mailbag, or at least a live Q&A, just kind of a hangout type situation, maybe for like an hour every Thursday. Spencer Whitmore, at Spencer Whitmore. Thoughts on Joe Milton saying he was asked to be a robot when he was at Michigan? I think that they were trying to teach him actual quarterbacking fundamentals, and it didn't. He wanted to just go out there and do what he does. That's what I take away from that. I don't think it's a big deal. I just don't. So, whatever. Mark Zimke at Mark_Z_. So many fans freaking out over recruiting right now, especially on defense. If you were a top recruit, wouldn't you wait and see what the system looks like on the field and how the team performs? It should be flip city in a couple months if things go well. 100%. I don't have much to add to that, but yeah, I mean, I think that right now it's a lot of talk. I think that's why you see a team like Indiana doing really well right now in recruiting, because they're able to, you know, point to last year. Hey, we went toe-to-toe with Ohio State. We're building something here. I think that after a 2-4 season, you're going to have to sell a little something extra. That is my feeling. Chase Glasser via Instagram. Apart from beating Ohio State once and backing it into a Big Ten title, is part of the reason that Penn State gets a pass for achieving around the same as Michigan the fact that they compete better against OSU? Yeah, I do think that that's probably part of it. They've had some close calls here. Apologies, because I'm on the phone reading this. You're getting phone noises. I do think that is certainly part of it. But I think the big part is that, because if Michigan was in the same boat, I think people would be still more pessimistic about Michigan, because there's a bigger premium put on Michigan beating Ohio State than Penn State doing it. You know what I mean? He continues, their games against Ohio State have been closer than ours in every year of the Harbaugh tenure, including 2.1-point losses in 2017-18, two facially competitive games in 19 and 20. Does anyone think we would have kept it within two scores in 2020 as Penn State did despite their record? No, because the Don Brown thing that I've said over and over and over again. I think that the insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results, and that's kind of what the case was. Josh Lugowicz, also via Instagram. I'm confused on the Denegal commitment. He looks incredibly raw in film, and I'm not exactly sure what the staff sees that I'm missing. Do you have any insight what made him a take, or how the staff or how they're planning to develop him? I'm not sure. I just know they worked him out personally, and then they offered him, and then he committed. So I hope to maybe get some insight on that somewhere down the line, but as of right now, I don't. Kyle Part Alternation Mark at iKyleBy. Michigan is ranked number 34 nationally according to the coaches poll. What would Michigan have to accomplish to call it a successful season? Granted, we'd have to go 12-0 just to get to the CFP. I think they could go 11-1. It depends on what happens around them. I think if you win all of your games but lose a close one to Ohio State, I think that there's a good chance that you could still get in. Just depends on what those other schools do. I think 8-4 is a successful season for Michigan this year based off of the debacle of last year. And I know that people don't want to hear that probably because that sounds disappointing. But I think that if 8-4, with the caveat that they beat one of those four teams on the schedule, Washington, Wisconsin, Penn State, or Ohio State, like, I think that they need to beat one of the big dogs. It would be nice. I would take if they went 8-4, beat Washington and Penn State, but lost to Wisconsin, Ohio State, Indiana, and say Northwestern. I don't think they'll lose Northwestern, but let's just say that they do. I think people would feel good about that. I think they also have to beat Michigan State. That would be a successful season in my eyes. Brandon at Brandon S616. More likely, Juwan finishes with a top three class for 22, or Harbs finishes with a top 10. I think right now I'd say Harbaugh finishing with a top 10 because there's still several five stars on the board. I don't think it's as hard from where Michigan football sits getting in the top 10. Whereas Juwan's got a couple really nice recruits right now in 2022, but he's going to have to get some five stars to get to the top three. Not saying he won't do it. I mean, obviously he got a couple last year, but until we see it happen again, I mean, I don't know. Continuing, should Michigan have a mascot? Why or why not? I'm going to go with, I don't care. I'm fine without it. I don't have an opinion. It's been almost a week of fall camp. Where's all the breaking news? This is asked sarcastically. I think it's also a good time for me to mention, I know you're asking it sarcastically, I don't check in with anybody until a couple weeks in, and sometimes I don't hear anything back. They submarine it, you know? Lastly, is a hot dog a sandwich? He says yes. You know, I used to say yes. I'm going to say no because a burger is not really a sandwich. It's a burger. A hot dog is a hot dog. But again, I don't care. A couple more in this segment. Zach at Zach Woodruff 3. If Cade's, you know, whatever the bed in an actual CFB environment with full stadiums, is it JJ or Bowman coming in to replace him? I don't know yet. I mean, fall camp's still going. I mean, one of them could win the job outright. But I don't know, because Bowman, but JJ has a leg up on Bowman in one regard, in that he's had extra added time with the playbook and time on task with it in fall and spring ball. Bowman has a leg up, and he's got more experience than all of them. When the lights turn on, he knows how to actually do things. I would say Bowman, because I don't think there's a rush to necessarily get JJ out there. That said, and I've said this a million times over now, I still would imagine it's JJ's time next year, kind of regardless, but maybe not. We'll see. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. Favorite uniforms in college football besides Michigan? And I totally meant to think about it, and I totally forgot to think about it. I'm trying to think here. I like Alabama's, like LSU's, but I don't think those are my favorites. Seems like it'd be someone in the SEC. I just can't think of... I like the Purdue alternates a lot. Those are easily my favorite alternate uniforms, but that's not like a traditional uniform. I might have to go with Penn State. They're just simple and classic, and I kind of love them. But I don't know. That's a hard question, because it seems like there's some out there. Like I've seen like a lot of ones that I've seen. Like I remember UCLA wore some alternates in 2011, the same day Michigan beat Ohio State. And I remember thinking those are awesome, but they were alternates. You know what the best alternates are, period, though, are Ole Miss's, with like the medium blue and the helmet to match. Ole Miss is right up there, but I don't know if I can pick a favorite otherwise. And honestly, Ohio State's, just because it's classic. Powder Records, at @_MikeB_show. Michigan obviously made changes to the staff to become more effective in recruiting-based staff. Why haven't we really seen the fruits of it yet? Do you think next year we'll start to see some of the tangible results in recruiting? Yeah, I mean, you just got to wait, man. You know, like, yeah, classes are building right now. I'd rather be more in Michigan's position in a way than Penn State's position right now. Right, Penn State's number one with 24 guys. If things go south, all those guys are going to decommit. I think for Michigan, you can, and plus their class is pretty much full, right? Michigan's got what, like 15, 16? I don't know the number offhand. I think that there's a lot of room for improvement. You go out there, you ball out against Washington, you ball out against some of these other schools. I think it can change the tides in a hurry. And I think that you can maybe lure some of those five stars that have just been kind of waiting and seeing, waiting in the wings. Again, people haven't made decisions. Some have. Damani Jackson has. But, you know, if USC is mediocre, could be Flip City. All right, let's continue on. We've got about 5 minutes. If I want to keep this under 30, I don't know if that's going to happen, because we also have to talk about a couple things, and that's going to take 2 minutes. So We'll see. BetOnline.ag, that's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. College football is going to be back in a matter of weeks. Michigan football's in 23 days. Major League Baseball still going. NBA, G League, Summer League, rather, is going. But guess what? BetOnline even also covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, with real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is also free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Also need to tell you a little bit something about rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and the prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Okay, we've got 3.5 minutes and a lot of questions. Probably not going to be under 30, but we're going to try. David John at David John with two H's, one. Beside the obvious answer of Ohio State, is there any team on Michigan's schedule who on paper, in terms of sheer talent, has an edge over Michigan when comparing talent to the rosters? Seems like Washington or Penn State would be the two contenders, but I really don't know. I think that Washington and Penn State are close to equal to Michigan, and with a little bit of development, which I think Penn State at least has right now, and some experience, which Penn State at least has right now, those are the ones that I would point out. Otherwise, no. I've said it time and time again. There is no one in the Big Ten in particular that has as much talent, not named Ohio State, as Michigan. Michigan faces a lot of other issues, whether it be execution in a lot of areas. That's probably the biggest one. Development in others. Play calling sometimes. Game plans, all of that. There's just been a million things that have gone wrong in those games. But Michigan is still the most talented team in the Big Ten, not named Ohio State. Todd Schultz at a Smile Fixer. Why can't we have cool alternate uniforms like MSU and Nebraska? I'm pretty sure that's sarcastic. MSU's alternate uniforms are usually a disaster. I liked their alternate helmet for the Gruff Sparty against Penn State last year. The Nebraska thing, which I know you're referencing, I don't think that's real. It's really funny. I don't think it's real. You know what? I'm fine if they never wear an alternate uniform. But I'm also fine if they do. Not a big deal. I don't like the ones that they wore in bowl games in the Brady Hoke era. But, you know, I if someone can come up with a better design, I'd be all for that. Enchanted Pants at Enchanted Pants. Hypothetical, what if Michigan loses to Western Michigan? Does the team check out? Quarterback change? Harbaugh's fate sealed? Fan base fully revolts? All of the above, probably. I also don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, we'd see some intestinal fortitude, hopefully. But it depends on the QB change thing, depends on why they lost. If they lose like 45 to 46, probably not the QB's problem. It's probably a defensive problem. Certainly could seal Harbaugh's fate. Fan base would certainly fully revolt. Michigan's never lost a Western, Central, or Eastern. Signifying Monkey at MW2MA, there is only one question ever. What are you doing to prepare for and beat the team in Columbus? That's the question, crying face. I have nothing to do with it. So you're asking the wrong person. Trey at GoBillion at Trey 2 to Max. What moves do you see the Big Ten making to counter what's going on in the SEC? Just a lot of conjecture at this point. I Kansas and Iowa State, maybe. I'm sure that they're making overtures to Notre Dame. Like I said, Notre Dame, USC would be interesting, but nothing that's concrete at this point. Number two, what's your prediction for Michigan's first Big Ten title under Harbaugh? Man, I just want to see him be competitive at this point before I, against Penn State and Wisconsin, before I can even tell you that. Ohio State probably has to take a step back too. Greg Villacerda at Coach Greg Villa. I hope I'm pronouncing all that right and probably doing it wrong one way or the other. I'm keeping expectations realistic, but why is it that Michigan doesn't seem to get the benefit of the doubt when they can absolutely improve what Wisconsin and Penn State do? I'm assuming you don't listen to the show regularly because that's, I say it constantly. I don't know. I've been saying it at least once a week, seemingly, for what, the last 9 months? I don't know. It's weird. It's like you look at 2020 and say, well, those teams were bad, but they'll be better, except for Michigan. They're going to always be bad. It's just a weird thing. Finishing us out, Jason Taylor at Jason Tay _. What do you think the linebacker depth chart will look like? Also, do you think Josh Ross has a bounce back season after a poor showing in 2020? I do, because I think that Mike McDonald isn't going to drop him into a zone coverage, soft zone, 5 yards beyond the first down marker. linebacker depth chart, considering that the outside linebackers are defensive ends, that is confirmed. Outside, I think your ones are going to be Aiden Hutchinson and Taylor Upshaw behind them. I think it's anybody's guess to some degree because there's a lot of younger names that could play a big part. I'd say David Ajabo, Mike Morris, Gabe Newberg, Brayton McGregor are all realistic options there. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. Jalen Harrell as well. And as far as the inside linebackers, your starters are Mike Barrett and Josh Ross. Behind them, I would say Nakai Hill-Green, Junior Colson would be my guess, but I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Solomon was in there. I think he probably is right there, but just kind of going based off of the names we've heard. All right, that'll do it. Wasn't 38 minutes, but still longer. We'll work at being more succinct to whittle it down to 30 so we don't have the issue of not answering questions if the camera... The stream that we're going to be doing can't handle it. That's a back-end thing. You guys don't need to know about that right now. Why am I talking about it? Anyway, thank you for listening. We'll be back on Friday, assuredly, to discuss some of the things that Steve Klinkscale and Sharon Moore have to say. So we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Peace.